is I'm going to own my own salon and have employees. Right. Number one, do you like people? Because a lot of lash artists I've talked to, they're like, I don't like people. I'm like, so then why would you have employees?
You're listening to Untamed, a podcast dedicated to empowering you, the lash artist, while providing insights on how to achieve success that is as individual and unique as you are. Each episode, me, Cheryl,
and me, Anne Marie, share our best information openly, without reservation. We discuss challenges, best practices, and what the future holds for the lash industry.
So grab a snack and your comfiest sweater, and get ready to geek out with your new lash BFFs. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe!
Hey, Lash friends, and welcome back to the Untamed podcast. Today, I have Mo with me to talk about salon ownership and her Lash community event, Lash Bash. So welcome, Mo. Thank you so much for being on our podcast today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, thank you so much. I know you're super busy, so I really appreciate your time. And to kick things off, do you mind to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, no problem. So my name is Mo, as she said. I own Lash Out in Friendswood, Texas, which is about 20 minutes south of Houston, Texas. We are actually coming up on our 10-year anniversary. I can't talk. I wanted to say 10-year birthday, which I call it that.
It is a birthday.
It is, and it's a big deal. I mean, 10 years in business, man, that is a huge deal. So yeah, I've been here, been around this in this area for 10 years. Yeah.
That's so cool. I'm really excited to learn more about your salon and answer a lot of the questions that our listeners have about salon ownership, because I think we all consider it at some point on our journey as lash artists. We're always like, maybe I want to do that. And others know they want to do it from the start.
Yes.
So can you tell us a little bit about your journey as a lash artist? Where did you start and what made you want to get into running a salon?
So I actually began in hair salons at the age of 19. I fell into it while I was in college, and I instantly, within like 6 months of that salon, was already running it and managing it. It's just like, I guess, in my nature. As a little girl, I used to play business. Like, I'd have an ironing board with all my business papers. So I always knew the business part of me is like who I am at heart. And I ran 3 different salons before I ever came to lashes. So I opened one, I helped another friend. So I was always in the business part of it. I was never a service provider. That was never in my interest. Like, I never wanted to touch anybody's hair. My mom would constantly be like, why don't you just go to school for hair if you're going to run salons? And I was like, I don't want to touch people. That's gross. And then at the last salon I was running, lashes were starting to be talked about. And this was in 2010. So a little bit before 2010, they were starting to be talked about. And I was actually trying to get one of our hairdressers to go and take a class. And every single one of them denied me and said, no, that's too hard. And I don't want to sit. Hairdressers like to move and they stand and move around a lot. And they're just feel like they're in action all the time. And so they're like, no, that's too repetitive. I don't want to be stuck behind a chair. The owners of that salon were like, well, why don't you just go take it and find out? And then you can teach the girls. It's like, oh, okay, fine. I mean, whatever. So it was literally an 8-hour course. In-person training. And that was it. It was like, here you go. Yay, go take over the lash world. And I was like, what did I just do? Holding the tweezers, it was totally foreign to me. Like, all of it was foreign to me. It was not natural. At that time, I was really burnt out in running salons and managing them. I was totally over-managing people. Just the whole aspect of it, I was burnt out to a max. And I took that course. And I think something in me was like, it's lashes. You're not going to let something little like this beat you, Mo. Like, get your stuff together and pick up the tweezers and master it. And so in that, I fell in love with lashes and I completely did not want to run a salon ever again. And here I am. Did lashes there for a couple of years while still running the salon. I mean, I would work till midnight. I would take clients any chance I could get because I just started to fall in love with that one-on-one with the clients. I was so used to being like the person that everybody knew in the salon, all the clients. I was the person they always came to, but I had never had that one-on-one connection with somebody in a room where they're just divulging their life and you connect. And so not only did I fall in love with lashes, I fell in love with that aspect. Like, I never knew I was missing out on building those relationships with people and connecting with people. After 2 years of just taking lashes, still managing the salon, I was like, I'm done. I'm going to go on my own. I'm going to rent a studio and I'm going to be all by myself. That was heaven. I'm not going to lie. But in that, I worked 7 days a week. I hustled hard to build my clientele. I was newly married, so I didn't have any kids. And I was just like, you know what? If you're going to do this, really do it. And I think about it now and I was like, wow, that time was really nice in my life and I didn't enjoy it enough. The money was even better. But I also worked for it. You know, some people are like, oh, well, you go on your own and you're just going to make all this money. And you have to be available. You have to show up. You have to put in the work to get there. But after 3 months of working on my own, I was booked solid and I had a waiting list. And of course, people couldn't get in for like 2 to 3 months with me. And a lady yelled at me. And it was the first time somebody had ever yelled at me, like when I was on my own.
Oh my goodness.
And she was like, why would you even have a business if you can't get people in? What is wrong with you? And instead of seeing it as, wow, this girl must be good. She's doing something great that she has a wait list. It was super offensive to her. And she literally yelled at me on the phone. So I remember getting butthurt and being upset. And I vented on Facebook because back then business wasn't really talked about on Facebook. And I just said, you know, I don't ever want anybody to leave me a bad review, because she threatened to leave me a bad review because I couldn't get her in. And I vented and a friend was like, it sounds like it's time to expand. And I looked at, I didn't look at him, but I messaged him back and I was like, are you crazy? I just got here. Stop. And my husband instantly was like, he's right. It's time. And so I had a year's lease, of course. And in that time, my husband just kept everywhere we went in our city, he would drive around and be like, how about that place? How about that place for your salon? And I was like, can you stop? Like, I just want to be here by myself. And the perfect place came up. And literally, it was just like meant to be. It was a house inside the park that we got married in. It was my favorite park. It was a house, literal house. I always said if I wanted to have my own salon, it would be in a like comfort. Because lashes is something where you're supposed to be comfortable with. It's not supposed to be rocking and rolling like hair. So I want it cozy. My goal was cozy. And that house was there. The landlord said that it had been for, he was trying to lease it out for 2 years, but everybody who came through the door never felt right. And then when I came through the door, he was like, you're a godsend. This was meant to be. And I was like, what? Are you sure? Are you sure you want to say yes? I don't know if I'm ready to expand. But expanded in 2013 and have had employees ever since. Yeah, it's a lot. Sorry.
I keep saying wow because it's such a journey you've been on, and I can definitely relate to parts. What I think is interesting about your journey is you did salon management before, just like I did. And I think that that is an advantage when you've done it before and then you get out on your own, you know kind of where to start.
Yes.
I feel like that has to be an advantage because I can't imagine lashing for only a few months, getting so busy, and then trying to expand right away. That's a lot to take on. It's a lot to take on even with like that experience. Amazing. So when you started and you expanded, how quickly did you expand?
I had to finish my year lease when I was on my own. So then, and again, godsend. When I was talking about expanding with my friends and hairdressers that I knew, because I was in a salon suite place. So there were tons of other beauty professionals in there with me. Like I said, I was very pushy. I was pushing back against it. I did not want to expand, but people just kept coming to me and they were like, if you expand, I'll go work for you. If you expand, I will learn lashes. So I never even had to like put out a, I'm hiring, I'm looking for employees. They all just came. And that doesn't ever happen.
No.
You know this, being in the industry, that never happens. And so it was just kind of like godsend again, like it was meant to be. People just came. And it kind of reminds me of, what was that movie? Like, if you build it, they will come. Is it Field of Dreams or something like that? Of course, that wasn't in my mind then. And I didn't see it then. And I, in talking about it recently, I can see it now. Like, I didn't have to market that I was opening and that I needed employees. I literally just had them coming.
That's pretty cool. So what differences have you seen back then, like 2013 to now? Because you've been in the industry a long time. I have too. And I know the industry has completely changed. Are there difficulties you face now running a salon that you didn't then?
To me, lash artists, for one, are a different breed than hairdressers. Hairdressing is so common and so huge that I felt like in hairdressing, I never had a hard time filling a chair. If somebody left, easily another hairdresser was coming out of school and I could easily build them up and get them going. Lash artistry, thankfully, I had people come to me before I expanded, but then there were times where like somebody would leave and I was looking for a position and there was nowhere to go to find anybody. Like for a good 5-6 years, I feel like nobody really thought lashes would be a career. So finding a lash artist was like few and far between. I really had to work hard to find these people, and they weren't easy to find because nobody, I'm not going to lie, when I started, I did not think it would be a career. I never in a million years, I thought it's going to be a fad. I'll do it. You know, I'll just get through it and then I'll do something else. And I was wrong. And I'm so glad I was wrong because I love it so much. But finding the people is hard. And now we're at a point where there are so many lash artists. Of course, not as many as hairdressers, but they're all taught from the get-go, or I guess not taught, but kind of guided into going on their own. I feel like any beginner's course is like, okay, so you're going to be a lash artist. You're instantly just going to be on your own. So this is what you do. I've never heard a single training course, anything along those lines say, go work for a salon, go get that experience. I've never heard a single person say that other than Paul and Tess. And that's what made me fall in love with them was because they experienced the salon side. And they were like, what people don't realize is you can get so much experience from a salon. And if you're not a business person and you don't have that in your heart, because that's the other thing people aren't taught. They're taught to just go on their own and do it, but they're not taught how to do the business side. And a lot of people don't like running a business and dealing with customer service. So that's what salons are for. We catch you. We pick up that slack for you. You know what my part that I'm jealous of the most? My girls get to go home and not think about business. My brain never turns off.
No, running a business is, it's difficult for sure. So I think it is interesting that the industry pushes so much. And gosh, I say this a lot on the podcast. So if you're listening, you guys know, but we push so much on like, go own a salon, go be an educator, start a lot, like all of these narratives. But what was interesting that you said to me is that you really liked that one-on-one time with your clients. You liked it a lot.
I love it.
And you weren't sure you wanted to expand. Or what would you say to stylists who really enjoy that one-on-one time with their clients? And so that has kind of pushed them into being a solo lash artist, but they're not good at business. How does that transition look for your employees who were doing that and then came to work with you?
So funny. So I had a lot of my girls usually come straight to me out of school. But over the years, because there's so many lash artists out there now, and this was, of course, years ago when there weren't a lot of lash artists. So I have one girl who she worked for herself for 3 years and hated it. And when I interviewed her, I was like, are you sure you've had a taste of the free, not necessarily the free life, but, you know, doing it on your own, being alone. And she was like, I hate posting. I hate customer service. I hate the booking. Why? And she was having a hard time getting clientele as well. And she's like, why? When I can be here and, for lack of a better word, I'll feed her clientele. And she just gets to go home and be done. And then for the girls luckily she's one who sees it and she knows that in herself that she did not like that business aspect of being a solo lash artist. And then I've had a couple of the other girls who have come from other salons. And of course, every salon is ran different. You know, I haven't worked at other lash salons, so I can't say how they're ran. But a lot of the girls, Kat included, you know, was like, yeah, they don't understand they're not going to get what you give at your salon, you know, because I try to be as fair as I can. Business is business, but I also lead with my heart. So I'm a people person. So it's just, it kind of just works in together. And like prime example, and this is totally off subject, but my husband has an identical twin and he worked as my receptionist at one point. But he would constantly get on to me and be like, you need to be harder. You need to be more aggressive with your girls. You need to be more disciplined with them. And you just need to be a mean boss. And he would yell at me about it. And my husband heard him one time because he had lived with us at that point. My husband heard him telling me that. My husband interrupted him and was like, don't you dare try to change my wife. This is why I love her. This is why her business works, because she is kind, because she does lead with her heart. She doesn't lead with her emotions, but she does lead with her heart. She loves her people, and that's why her people stay. And it for a while there, did I get hard and cold and just be like, business is business? Yeah, but ultimately, that's not who I am.
Right. I like that. You know, I think it is good practice to be kind.
Yes.
And honestly, to really any staff that you bring in, you should want to see them succeed.
Exactly.
And if you're not seeing them as like wanting to see your staff succeed and grow and develop, you're just seeing how much money can they make you.
Yeah.
It just doesn't really align well with me. I understand that if you have staff members, you need to make sure that they are hitting their sales goals, that they are busy, that they are actually like contributing to the business. But obviously, if they're contributing to the business, they're probably generating their own success too and growing, which is great to see. So
yes,
that would be hard. What a journey you've been on. It sounds like I can just listening to you talk, think this would be a great salon to work at. Seems like I could come to you if I was having an issue with a client, know you'd have my back.
Yes.
And those are the things that I think are so cool about working in a salon.
Yes.
Is not being completely alone all the time and then having someone who has your back and can help you when you need it.
Yes. And that's my girls. I keep telling them, I'm like, one, you have endless knowledge in my head. Pick at it, take it, ask me questions. Two, I will always have your back because I have physically done this myself. I've been on your side. I will always have your back. Like, I want my girls as much. Recently, I saw something that said, customer service is key, but your employees have to be happy first in order to create that perfect customer service. And I was like, yes, that's totally it. If they're not happy, they're not going to create great customer service.
That's it. And you know, I hear a lot of stylists who leave salons because they say they're not being treated well. And that seems to be what outshines even not being paid well. Now, of course, not being paid well is a big part of it, but I would love to hear your opinion on paying staff because, of course, the business has such high expenses. And how do you balance making sure that you are paying well, but also being able to run your business successfully and make a little profit too?
Yeah. So I'm a firm believer, and this is just because of what I learned in the first salon I ever worked at. And this was for years, any money that the business generated, I put right back into the business. I mean, I there have been years where I didn't pay myself because I put it right back into the business because I truly believe do not steal from your business. And now, of course, my CPA kept yelling at me and was like, yes, but you have to take a paycheck too. You have to live. I was like, oh yeah.
You have to pay yourself.
Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I guess that is important, huh? But there were times at the beginning where I'd pay my girls over paying myself. That's just,
of course,
you have to not be selfish if you're going to have a salon. You have to put other people in front of you. And like, even during COVID, I kept trying to do anything I could to help my girls through it as well. You know, I was a small salon, so I didn't approve for the PPP loan. I didn't get any of that. And that, my reasoning for applying for that was to help my girls, not myself. I think because I've been the person who's done this myself and I have the experience, you know, some salon owners, and I've heard this about chains, is that they have salon owners who have never physically done lashes. They don't know what it takes. They don't know the toll it takes on your body. They don't know the skill or the technique that it takes. So they pay you 20% of what you make, or they pay you a small hourly rate, whatever. I have always paid my girls a really high commission, and I keep getting yelled at by friends and certain other people in the industry yelling at me for overpaying, but I know what it takes on your body, and I would never want somebody to not feel appreciated for what they did. And this job takes a lot on your body. People, yeah, it seems so easy and just meticulous in that sense, but you're body, it takes a toll on your body. And and I'm sure you know this, in being in this industry for so many years, you take on all these people's emotions and lives.
That's the part.
And you carry it with you, and it mentally is draining. As much as I loved it in the beginning, could I do it fully now? No way. There's no way. Yeah. So my girls are commission based. I do pay them high because I do appreciate them. Yeah, I am looking into team pay. I have been talking with strategies because I want more for my girls. It's not about me making more money. It's about I want, and you know who's my idol in this one? Shelby from Lash Boss Radio and Pink Lady Lash.
Yes.
She is my idol. She takes her girls on retreats. She does things with her girls to make them feel appreciated. And I want my salon to generate money like that in a sense that I can do these things with my girls. So I have been talking with strategies and looking into what it takes to do team-based pay. And we're talking that through. But my ultimate goal is, yes, to give my girls more in a sense of a team and love and that kind of stuff.
Well, that's also good. I think that finding a salon that overpays is not common.
I know.
Because, yeah, I could tell you're like hesitant to want to share. And that tells me a lot about where you're at. Because as a business owner, in my experience, you want to pay a lot. And at first on paper, it's like, that makes sense. And then once you start really looking at your statements
and your numbers,
looking at everything, yeah, you realize that you cannot pay this,
mm-mm,
but you can still pay well.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's really no excuse for underpaying.
Exactly.
And another consideration that I think anyone listening should take into account is there is a difference on making 50% at a place that charges $40 for a refill,
mm-hmm,
versus a place that might pay you 35%, but their refills are $130.
Exactly. You have to look at the numbers.
Your gratuity's higher, right? Like clients are probably much more consistent. Gratuities could be higher. You are making more money, even though the percentage is lower. So you really have to assess all of these different things. And then also some salons do actually include benefits. I think that's always very cool. I'm not sure if you do, but I did. And that's a huge expense for the owner to take.
It is. And that's what I'm looking into as well. Like with going into strategies, I want to be able to offer those extra benefits, those 401ks, those things like that.
So cool.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you and your team. This is really neat. It's nice to hear about your journey over the decade.
Yes.
Like, congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Thank
happy
you.
Birthday. So for anyone who is considering opening a salon, do you have like best advice that you would give for them? Like things to consider, what to never do, just like have the floor, tell us everything.
Okay. So if I feel like 90% of lash artists who are starting their 5-year goal is I'm going to own my own salon and have employees.
Right.
Number one, do you like people? Because a lot of lash artists I've talked to, they're like, I don't like people. I'm like, so then why would you have employees? I get you like your personal clients. And, you know, there are those clients who, I mean, those lash artists who they work by themselves and they don't talk. So they don't really get to know their clients. And that's perfectly fine too. But if you are that person and you don't want to get to know your clients and you do like to work in silence, why would you want a team of people working for you if you don't like them? Or if you just don't like people in general? You have to be selfless if you're going to own a salon. You have to figure out how to promote other people, not just yourself. That's a big, hard one that I've noticed a lot of people who get into expanding, they just keep promoting themselves and not their employees. And then their employees don't grow. And they're like, oh, well, I'll just give them my overflow. I'm like, no, that's, you need to promote them. I mean, it got to a point when I hired people, I completely stopped posting my stuff to build my girls because they were my priority. I think I recently just made a post like, if you are going to be a salon owner, make sure you have business background, whether it be a free, I've seen at our local community colleges, they'll offer 1-day business courses or they'll offer, you know, something for $100. Go take something easy, you know, a business course just to get your bearings to see if that's something you're going to like. You have to work with your numbers. You have to work with your inventory. You have to work with people on a regular. You get to be the customer service person that everybody yells at, even though you didn't touch their lashes. You know, I feel like a lot of people just jump into it thinking, oh, it looks so easy. And it's not. It's a lot of work. You have to be willing to like take that work home with you, especially for me. When I was first expanding, I worked full time. Plus, I had girls. So there was never any time to do the business stuff at work. It was always done at home. And it's just part of it. You have to be willing to hustle for your business and for your people. I think I sent a few people like some customer service books, you know, read the books, read those business books, read whatever you can to get that education and to get that knowledge that you'll need. Customer service obviously is key. So that's a huge one that you want to take. And then just recently, I've been on this journey about learning the different personality types to learn how to work with my employees, not my customers, my employees. So you have to be able to work with lots of different individualities and how they work, because nobody works like you. And the other thing is, nobody's going to love your business the way you do. And you have to accept that from the get-go and just know that a lot of them are just there for the job. And that's okay.
Oh, these are such good points. I like the points you're making. I definitely know that from time to time, you do get that passion employee. And I know, thinking of the Untamed Artistry team, man, we have some rock stars who really put their all into it. But, you know, I heard this quote recently, and this is not direct, but it was like, if they don't have the same stake in your business, you can't expect the same thing from them.
Absolutely.
So that's something that we should all keep in mind. I think another point that I really want to circle back on that you made is that you said, you know, you were working full time, but then also having staff, and then you were having to do so much at home. But I feel like to be that strong owner manager, and you've adapted this, is you're going to have to sacrifice how much time you're with clients. And you also have to understand you might be interrupted while you're with your clients, and that's going to change their quality of service. So really thinking through that, you still want to lash full time, then you're going to have to start hiring more staff. You're going to need a manager to do all that for you.
Yes, definitely. And I didn't have a manager. I couldn't afford one at that point when I was lashing. And because my clients had already been with me for a little bit. So I let them all know, like, look, I have expanded. My door is always open. I was literally right off the waiting area in the house that we were in. And I had the biggest room. And so it had a couch in it. So employees would constantly come in and ask me questions. My receptionist would constantly come in and ask me questions. And I'd always tell my client, okay, you know, like, so-and-so is here. Are you okay if she comes in? You know, ask permission first. And then, I mean, I can only imagine what my clients learn just laying there listening to the business conversations or the customer service conversations we had. But luckily, it got to a point where those were all my favorite clients that I wasn't worried. They weren't worried. They didn't, you know, I didn't have a receptionist for a while, and they'd hear the phone go off and they'd be like, Mo, stop doing my lashes and answer the phone so you can put your people, because they knew I didn't have a receptionist and I needed to book a client. So I was blessed in the sense that my clients were so amazing in understanding that part of my journey.
I love this. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit, a lot of it, about your salon experience. I know there's so much more, and that's why I'm like, I know we're just barely scratching the surface, like of a decade of experience. Yeah. So thank you so much. I would love to talk to you more about that. But I also want to make sure that I can get into your newest journey, because I kind of want to hear what it's like for you to start something kind of new, because you're in that moment right now of like, I'm trying something new. And I, you know, it's completely different than like a decade of experience at salons. So I want to switch to Lash Bash, which I would love if you could just tell us, what is Lash Bash to start? And then I have a bunch of questions for you on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Lash Bash is basically the event for lash artists to come and find their long lost lash bestie.
Love that.
It originally was created as community over competition. Wednesday and I created it together. Her part of it was that, you know, like when she went on maternity leave, she didn't know lash artists to refer her clients to. She didn't have those relationships to send clients to. And my part of it was, when I started lashes, there was not a single lash artist near me, one. The nearest one near me was like probably 30 minutes away, and she would not talk to me. Like, I remember reaching out to her, just trying to make a friend in the lash world, and she would not reply to me. She would not communicate with me, nothing. And back then, our community wasn't as open as it is now. I love how open our community is when sharing all that stuff. But I love having those connections. Like you and I, when we talk, we just go and go and go, because it's nice. It is like, it fills my cup to have those conversations with like-minded people. I can talk to my husband about lashes, and he's like, uh-huh, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. He doesn't get it. I can talk to my husband about the business, and his instant reply is, well, you just do this and that's it. You know, their men are like, I just want to fix it and be done. And I'm like, no, hold on. Like, let me bounce some ideas off of you. And he's like, no. So now I'm like, I'm on a phone call with so-and-so from this lash brand, whatever. Can you leave me alone? Because they're helping me. He's like, you don't want my advice anymore? I'm like, no, I have friends for that now. But that was part of, for me, that was a huge part of it. Like having those lash friends really fills my cup. And in this event, just in this event alone, I have made so many lash friends. And it's like, it's good to know people who have your back. And we don't have to talk about personal life or whatever, just to have that conversation, like with us. We just barely had lunch the other day and our conversation just flows because we get each other. And if somebody hasn't met up with another lash artist, they don't understand what I'm talking about, because you haven't had that like-minded person to understand, oh, this client's retention is horrible. I do everything, you know, nobody understands it like another lash artist. So I also feel like a lot of lash artists are solo lash artists. So they don't have people around them ever. And even if you aren't a people person, you still, I feel like, want somebody in the industry to talk to. That's why all these big people are constantly getting DMs, because somebody just wants to be seen and heard as a lash artist with somebody else who's a lash artist. So why not create a community where any lash artist can come to this event? Everybody is welcome. It's super just open. I just want it to be open. Everybody and anybody is invited, lash artist wise. I did have a hairdresser who reached out to me and was like, can I come to your event? And I was like, why? I mean, if you really want to, but you're going to get lash swag stuff. Like, why? And she goes, it just looks fun.
Oh, but that's really nice.
That's so sweet. I was like, okay. If you're thinking about lashes, this is a great place to meet people too, you know, but I just wanted to build a community. I felt like we are on a roll in the industry that we are open. Again, there was no openness when I started. There was not a person who would tell me what glue they used. There was not a person who showed me how to pinch. There was none of that. It was swim or sink, period. Like, there was no help. Even the brand that I had trained with originally, they weren't helpful when I would reach out to them, and they went under a year later.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was just like, I had nobody to help me through the troubles of being a lash artist, the beginning of being a lash artist. So in this community event, we're all there and people are there to help. And that's what I love, is how open our community was. So what better time when the industry is so open and we are relatively still new with how it's building? I feel like this is the perfect time to start building that community. And there is no, to me, and I guess maybe I learned this in the hair industry. When I was in the hair industry, if there was a hair salon within walking distance, they were our enemy and our competition. Mm. Not by me, but by every hairdresser in the salon. I would sit there and tell my team, hey, I'm going to go introduce myself to the hair salon down the street. And they would all chastise me like, you don't do that. Why would you do that? And I'm like, because why wouldn't we be friends? They're like, no, that's our competition. You don't go say hi to them. Oh, yeah. This is crazy.
I can't imagine. Yeah, but I say I can't imagine, but I remember it used to be like that. What am I talking about?
You know.
I remember.
We just can't imagine it now, because now it should be open. And literally Wednesday is in walking distance of my salon. She moved down the road and I reached out to her and was like, hey, let's do lunch. And we instantly hit it off. And it's just to show that we are not each other's competition. We are here to love each other, support each other, and help each other. And so that is what I want people to get out of these events. I want their cups to be filled the way mine are filled. Like, when I see my favorite part, and this is weird, but I'm weird. My favorite part after Lash Bash is seeing people tag each other, like two friends that literally had never met before. And they're like, that Lash Bestie from Lash Bash, I finally met her after all these years. You know, like, that is my favorite. And then even brands who have come to the events, they've met each other and now they're hooking up and doing things together. So it's not just you, as much as, yes, it's a lash artist thing. There are so many lash artists who are starting their new career in building a brand, AKA product. So if they want to come meet people, they meet other people who are trying to build their own brand and products and things like that. Like, I don't know how many I met at the Utah one who were starting their own product line. And it was like, oh, well, you should talk to so-and-so. She's starting that too. Y'all are on the same journey and the same path. Get together, grow your business together. It's not about exclusion or your product's better than mine or mine's better than yours. It's, hey, we can come together and promote our products together.
I like this. You answered a lot of the questions I had for you.
I just ramble, you know?
Oh, no, it's really good. Like, you have a clear direction on what you love about your event, the inspiration to start it, what makes it unique. You can tell you're really proud of it.
Yes,
and it just makes me so happy.
Yeah, I didn't When Wednesday and I did this, we did it in Friendswood where we're at, and we're just a little city, but it's a big enough city. And we thought, oh, we'll just do a little party. Nobody will come. And then if somebody comes, we'll do it once a year and just have fun. And then the second one was in Utah at EBL. Lindy hosted us. And I was like, holy moly, we're going across country to do this. What? So yeah, it got way bigger than I expected.
And I'm looking forward to the one that's happening in Houston now too in October. That's going to be so fun. I can't wait to go.
No, I'm so excited. First Halloween one.
Oh, I know.
For me.
Okay. Costume? I have to really think on this.
Yes, I know. I know. I was thinking that too. I was like, I don't even know what to wear. And I also don't want to be that person who, which I never am, but you know, like people wear full face and they don't know who you are. And you're sitting there and you're like, hi, I'm so-and-so, but they have no clue who you are. And, you know, I'm like, okay, do something, tame it down where people know who you are at least.
That's true. And I need to keep that in mind as I did special effects makeup. So I'm like, oh, maybe I should still look like me. One thing that I want to ask you, since you are hosting an event and your goal is to bring the community together, one thing is, you know, Cheryl talks about this often. Being a lash artist can be very lonely because we're just like solo lash artists oftentimes. We're not working alongside anyone else or with anyone. And then when we go to events, if we don't know anyone, it can be very intimidating. What would you say to a stylist who doesn't know anyone, is interested in going? Like, do you have a program that they show up kind of with someone? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do you get someone who is so shy, so nervous to go, to feel like they are welcome to come? And I know, knowing you, that everyone is welcome.
Yes.
And you would see that person, talk to them immediately. But making that first step to attend something like this, I gotta say, is extremely intimidating. Especially like some of the ones you've hosted have a ton of big, well-known people who show up. And, you know, that could be extremely intimidating or off-putting almost if it just seems like it's only for people who are well-known or celebrities in our industry. I just want to hear your take and the advice you have for those stylists.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's funny because I feel like most of the people who come to Lash Bash are those shy people. Like,
really?
I feel like Lash Bash is almost their stepping stone to get them to go to a conference. Because a lot of them will message me and be like, I think I just posted the other day, like, what, for those people who are shy, what would y'all want to do at the event? Because I know people hate, like they cringe at icebreakers. But to me, those are perfect for the shy people, but they hate it. So I had posted it the other day and somebody who was really shy messaged me and she goes, I'm super shy. I'm super nervous. I'm coming alone, but I'm really excited. I haven't done anything like this, but I think an icebreaker is a great idea. And that was like my push to go, okay, you know what? They just need the push to get out of their comfort zone. And I was that person too. I used to be really shy. I know people don't believe me, but I am naturally an introvert, but in my business, I'm an extrovert because I'm so comfortable in it. I just will go, 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 go. But if you see me outside of this, like when I go anywhere with my husband or I meet new people who aren't in the lash industry, I'm very quiet. I'm very to myself. But in that, I feel like Lash Bash is a great opportunity to get you out of your shell, to meet people, to force yourself to go meet people. It's as much as I am blessed to have big people show up, those big names, that is not what this was about. This was about building the lash community. Those people are absolutely included because they're a big part of our community and they bring something to the table, but it's about meeting people. And the bonus is meeting your lash idol or whoever that big name is. But it's funny because I'll see pictures of like those shy artists going, I met my lash idol, and they'll post a picture with them. And then later they'll post, you know, I met my lash bestie, and they'll constantly post pictures of that lash bestie more than they will about their idol, you know, because that's the connection I want them to make. I am trying to figure out what to do with those shy ones. Like, of course, when they message me, I'm instantly, just because that's where my heart goes, I'm like, hi, I'm so excited to meet you. I just, you know, I start rambling and I'm like, just come hold my hand and we'll be best friends, you know, whatever. But the biggest part is just be brave. Go to the event, show up. That's your biggest step right there. And then the rest will naturally come. I mean, there has never been, and of course there's only been two, but I haven't had a lash bash where I see somebody sitting alone in the corner. So if anybody's nervous about that, that's not going to happen. Like, it's just so much mingling and so much just getting it all out. I feel like just all this fun talk is happening, whether it's lash related or not, or somebody's, you know, been following you forever and you're across the states and they wanted to meet you or something like that. I have had a lot of like friends who like somebody's in Washington and somebody's in Arizona and they'll meet at Lash Bash for the first time. And so they're not alone. So of course, if you have a lash friend and you want to bring them, bring them. Obviously you have to buy a ticket. Tickets are sold out, but I'm just talking about in general, like for the next one, if you want to come, bring a friend, bring a lash friend. I'm really trying to figure out for the shy people what to get them out of their comfort zone, what to do to get them out of their comfort zone, because I don't want them to be uncomfortable, because I know how I am when I'm uncomfortable in a situation and I'm shy, don't want to be forced to do whatever. Yeah, it's just, you're meeting your equal people. Nobody is better. Nobody is worse. You're meeting people across the board. We are not there to judge each other. We are there to all be equal.
I love this so much. I'm going to put all your handles in the show notes. So anyone who wants to reach out about your event or is nervous to attend any conference, like I think you'd be a great resource to motivate and help encourage someone to go,
because
it can be hard.
It is.
I understand the sense of community isn't excluding anyone. Obviously, we want to have those, I call them celebrities in the industry, the celebrities, the influencers, the business owners, then just the stylists who are kicking butt, lashing all day. Like, we want to have it all. I think that's really, really fun. And it's really cool. I think that's one thing when you get out there, it's really like welcoming in the right environment, which you are setting up. And I'm just so thankful to know you and be a part of Lash Bash and be a sponsor and show up and attend. It's very cool. Well, Mo, I want to thank you for being on our podcast today. I wish I could have you even longer, but the time got away really quick. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I still have a lot I want to ask, but I have one last question to ask you today. I really want to hear about your goals with Lash Bash. You went over so much of the inspiration and what you want for your attendees, but what is the goal of the actual like event itself?
So right now, like I said before, I didn't anticipate it getting this big, but with it getting this big, I want to do like a Lash Bash tour where I go to different cities in different states. And my goal is to like collaborate with other, just because I will probably collaborate with bigger names, like bigger people in the industry, bigger brands, so they can be a part of it as well. So it's like beneficial to a brand as well. But I want to go to different cities in different states. I literally have, I think, 6 or 7 already planned for 2023.
Whoa.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I was not expecting this and I am just rolling with it. And because it's something I love and I'm so passionate about, it's really like refreshing me and my own industry and my own business. Like it's really, it's, you know, when you've done what you've done for so long, it comes secondhand and you're used to it, but this is something completely new. Basically, I'm an event planner for lash artists, did not go to school for event planning, but it's all worked out perfect. And I just want to take it anywhere and everywhere I can go and meet new people. That's part of it too for me. It's like, I get to meet all the new people. It's not just for you guys to meet each other. Like for me, truly, I enjoy meeting all these new people and connecting with them and having these long life connections that I plan on having with all of you. But yeah, I want to take it on tour and we'll see where it goes.
That's all for this episode of Untamed. Thank you so much for joining us today. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in today's episode at untamedartistry.com. Don't forget to subscribe. And remember, as your study buddy, we are always here for you. Don't hesitate to send us a DM at untamed.artistry.